కృష్ణ. జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, గోపిజనా వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ, యశోదానందనా వ్రజ జనరంజన, యశోదానందనా వ్రజ జనరంజన, యశోదానందనా వ్రజ జనరంజన, యశోదానందనా వ్రజ జనరంజన, యమునా తీరవనచారీ, యమునా తీరవనచారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ, యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన, యమునా తీరవనచారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ, యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన, యమునా తీరవనచారీ, యమునా తీరవనచారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, హరే Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shri Shri Shmatabhe Charanavinda Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jaya. श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड गोस्वामी प्रभु की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udhiraye. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. And we are reading verse number 12. Tata saptam aktuyam rucher yagyo abhyajayata sa yamadhya suragane apat svayambhuvantaram tata saptam akutyam rucher yagyo apijayata sa yamadhya suragane apat svayambhuvantaram tata saptam akutya rucher yagyo apijayata sa yamadhya suragane apat svayambhuvantaram. Tata saptam aktuyam rucher yagyo abhyajayata sa yamadhya surugane apat svayambhuvantaram. Tata, after that, saptame, the seventh in the line, Akutyam, in the womb of Akuti, Ruchehe, by Prajapati Ruchi, Yagya, the Lord's incarnation as Yagya, Abhijayata, advented, Saha, He, Yam Adyehe, with Yam and others, Suraganehe, with demigods, apat, ruled. Swayambhuva anantaram, the change of the period of Swayambhuva Manu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The seventh incarnation was Yajna, the son of Prajapati Ruchi and his wife Akuti. He controlled the period during the change of the Swayambhu Manu and was assisted by demigods such as his son Yam. Purport. The administrative post occupied by the demigods for maintaining the regulations of the material world are offered to the highly elevated pious living beings. When there is a scarcity of such pious living beings, the Lord incarnates Himself as Brahma, Prajapati, Indra, etc. and takes up the charge. During the period of Swayambhu Manu, the present period is of Vaivaspata Manu, there was no suitable living being who could occupy the post of Indra, the king of the Indralok heaven planet. The Lord Himself at that time became Indra, assisted by His own sons like Yama and other demigods. Lord Yajna ruled the administration of the universal affairs. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tatha Sapta Akutyam Rucher Yagyo Abhijayata Sa Yamadya Suraganer Apat Swayambhu Anantaram. The seventh incarnation was Yajna, the son of Prajapati Ruchi and his wife Akuti. He controlled the period during the change of the Swayambhu Manu and was assisted by demigods such as his son Yama. Seeking the blessings of all the devotees, so I may properly glorify the process of devotional service. And also seeking the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mande Anantam Madbhuta Ishwaryam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum Nichopi Yat Prasadat Syat Bhakti Shastra Pravartakaha. This is the verse Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually starts with when he is describing the discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies the different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So of course, so many incarnations and so many descriptions. The whole purpose of Sudha Goswami here is to establish Krishna's greatness and to emphasize how among all these incarnations, the source is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaitam achyutam anadi ananta rupam adyam purana purusham navayoganam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam adi purusham tamam bhajami. And Lord Brahma also again reinstates and emphasizes this point. But the medicine also sometimes can become the cause of the disease. So here, though the whole point is to come to the Paribhasa Sutra of Ete Anshakala Punsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swaya. The very Bhagavad that tries to establish Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, in so many ways. Actually, it is so amazing. You know, sometimes we take things for so granted. Every time I read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it does not stop amazing. Just as Krishna is never amazed, you know, never enough amazed by his own personality. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna, amazes you all the more when you try to get closer and closer to it. So the whole description here actually is so systematic. So many times it is said that Srimad Bhagavatam necessarily does not follow the chronological order. But actually it is sometimes that it does not follow the chronological order. Most of the time, Sudh Goswami, Shukdev Goswami are very systematic and very chronological in their presentation. Only that it skips us because of so many characters and so many various incarnations involved, you are not able to appreciate that enough. That they are so sharp, so specific and so systematic in their presentation. Of course, I do not know where to start from because there's so many things in this one presentation that Sudh Goswami is trying to present here. And I beg forgiveness if I'm not coherent or maybe flow is not very systematic. I cannot repeat what they are doing. But some aspects that I'll be trying to stress is the first point, how chronological Sudh Goswami is in presenting what he is in this discussion. And secondly, even though the whole point is to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's the whole focus of Srimad Bhagavatam, those very verses are used by so many acharyas, even our own Vaishnava acharyas, to come to the point that how Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Krishna. Right? And they use the same very verses that actually establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the whole point is, with so many incarnations, how do you find what the source is? So what is the process to actually establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And how does one realize that? So these are some points that I'll try to cover. And because the subject matter is too vast, I may just touch upon some points. But the whole point is, as Sudh Goswami will be further speaking in this section itself, that how Krishna is a reservoir of all these incarnations. And these incarnations are just like the different rivers flowing from a lake. Right? Unlimited rivers and unlimited waterfalls that are flowing from this lake. But the source of these rivers is Krishna. I mean, the source of this incarnation is this lake, Krishna. That is the whole point he's trying to stress. But as, Kunti Maharani says, and as the Lord is known as Rukrama. So, Rukrama means two things. In fact, it means unlimited things, you know, the way you can break Sanskrit. So, one of the aspects is the supreme most actor. Yeah, so Krishna is known as the supreme most actor. And then as an actor, you know, puts up different masks to display his different aspects, to do justice to the part that he is playing. Similarly, Krishna is the supermost actor, is the most wonderful actor. As Queen Kunti also says, Maya Yavanika Channam, Agyana Dokshitam Avyam, Na Lakshe Mooda Drisha, Nato Natyo Dharo Yatha. And this aspect is again even stressed by Sudh Goswami in this section itself, that how Krishna is one of the most wonderful actors. And these incarnations are nothing but the different roles that he is playing. Yeah. Nowadays, especially, is the time of putting on masks. Yeah. So I was just telling, I was just pulling one devotee's leg and saying, so where is your mask, you know? See, do I really require one more? I have already put on so many masks. So the point is, the conditioned soul also has put up masks. And the Supreme Lord also put up so many masks. But there is a difference in both of this. Right? And how do we realize this supreme wonderful actor behind so many masks? Are we supposed to remove his mask or are we supposed to remove our mask? Right? So let's try to understand how Shri Sudh Goswami is beautifully bringing out this point. So, definitely we have put up so many masks, and the whole point of the conditioned soul putting up so many masks is that he puts up so many roles, assuming himself to be the doer. Or he tries to hide his true aspect, right? Krishna is trying to put up so many masks to attract the living entity to understand this true aspect. Vis-a-vis, the conditioned soul puts up so many masks to hide his true aspect. Yeah. So hum har kirdaar nibhane mein hunarmand hai, nakab bahut hai hamare paas, tumko kaun sa pasand hai? So the living entity is so expert in putting up so many masks. So okay, what do you want? I'll do whatever role you want me to play, you know. But the whole point is pretension. Main koi aur hu, janta hu main, samne is jhaan ke ek ek nakab hu main. ना जाने लोग कितने चेहरे लिए फिरते हैं, बातों में शहद अंदर जहर लिए चलते हैं. दिखाने के लिए शरबत और असल में शराब रखते हैं, कुछ लोग होठों पे प्यार और शब्दों में जहर रखते हैं. सो द होल पॉइंट इज पोटेंशियल फॉर द कंडीशन सोल. नकाब खुद को छुपाने के लिए नहीं, तुमसे दूर जाने के लिए पहना है मैंने. सो मेनी टाइम्स वी ऑल्सो पुट ऑन मास्क टू हाइड अवर टू आइडेंटिटीज. दैट इज व्हाट द कंडीशन सोल इज एक्चुअली ट्राइंग टू डू. नाउ ही इज ट्राइंग टू प्रिटेंड, ही इज ट्राइंग टू पुट अप सो मेनी रोल्स. ऑफकोर्स फंक्शनली दे आर मेनी टाइम्स इंपॉर्टेंट, बट द होल पॉइंट इज दैट ही फील्स दैट ही इज द डूअर. दैट इज द डिफरेंस, राइट? एंड दैट्स वाई टू एक्चुअली एम्फसाइज दिस पॉइंट, ही पुट्स अप सो मेनी mass, so many pretensions. And in that, he tends to lose his real identity. Now, Krishna does the same thing. And he does it for actually making realize his true nature. But many times, because of conditionings, you're not able to realize that. Now, in this section, it starts with, the description of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Of Shirodakshay Vishnu, of Mahavishnu. And Shukdev Goswami in the 10th canto actually describes the pastime of Krishna and Arjun going to meet Mahavishnu. Right? The whole specific purpose of this pastime that Shukdev Goswami delineates is to establish how Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu also. But it is this very same pastime that the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, specifically the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, uses to establish how Mahavishnu is the source of Krishna. Right? And they use the same Sanskrit verses that we use to establish Krishna as the Supreme. They use it to establish Mahavishnu as the Supreme, the Bhom Purusha as the Supreme. So then, how do you actually try to, get to the source? The only process is actually following the path of pure unalloyed devotional service as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Khud hi na chupa sake wo apne chehre ko nakab mein, bewajah hamari aankhon par ilzam aa gaya. It is Premanjana Chrita Bhakti Vilochane, right? It is by the slough that is anointing one's eyes of pure devotion of unalloyed devotion, then one can really recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not otherwise. Right? It is only by, Rishikena, Rishikesa Sevanam. Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam. That's the whole. The Upadhi, the designations are nothing but the mass. Right? It is when you are free, when you are purified by these different designations, can you really appreciate the source of all these incarnations, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not otherwise. And that can only be carried out when we stick to this path of Radha Marg that has been given by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. The rest of the mask we may wear, but not be attached to them. Gamo ki dhoop hai to kya jara muskara ke chal. Udasi ka nakab utar aur daat dikha ke chal. Dunya ko sajawat pasand hai, karti rahe pasand. Tu manzil pe rak nazar, bas hausle saja ke chal. So the whole point is, this determination is what we have to really focus on. This determination to follow the path of Ragamag. To follow the path that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. It is only by that can one really understand how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know. When, in fact, we were just having a discussion and Gaura Gopal Prabhu was mentioning this beautiful story of how Lord Ram, when, you know, Hanuman and Lord Ram meet for the first time, it is described by Valmiki Muni that Hanuman saw Lord Ram with many arms. Bhavaka, the word used, Sanskrit word used there is Bhavaka. Two means Bahu. It means Bahu Tulya, right? Two arms. But Bhavaka means many arms. So when Hanuman actually is seeing Lord Ram, he is seeing as non-different from Narayan, the source of Narayan. Right? That is because of this devotional service that he can understand how this Lord Ram, who's appeared in his two forms, is actually even the source of the four-handed Lord Narayan. And he can appreciate these four hands of Narayan. But if you see, in the case of Srimati Radhavani, so Krishna, when he disappears from the Rasa Leela, you know, and he takes this form of Narayan, yeah, Alarnath. And he tries to hide himself from the gopis. And when the gopis come searching for Krishna, they look at Narayan, but they're not very much interested and they ask, you know, please, can you tell us where Krishna is gone? And then Narayan, with all his four arms, actually indicates that where he has gone. But when Srimati Radharani comes, just by the potency of a devotional service, the rest of the two arms melt. And Krishna is not able to hold himself. And he manifests his true form as Shyam Sundar Krishna. So the whole point is, you can really understand this fact only by the process what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And we can understand this aspect, you know, even Baldev Vidya Bhushan, when he is challenged by the Ramanandis, the whole point, there is when the discussion goes on, of course he gives the Vedanta Sutta, but before that he tries to counter. Because the Ramanandis allege, and they quote the shloka from Padma Puran. Of course, now it seems that in the extent of Padma Puran, you won't find this shloka. But of course, it's quoted by many Vaishnava Acharyas and it's been stressed again and again that it's from the Padma Puran. Not only by the Gaudiya Acharyas, but by the Vaishnava Acharyas. And this is the same shloka that the Ramanandis quote. And they say, Shri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Shiti Pavana Chatvaraste Kalo Bhavya Hi Utkale Purushottamat. Says, how can you say that you are an authorized Vaishnava Sampradaya? Because the Padma Puran says there are only four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Shri, Brahma, Rudra, Sanaka. And you are claiming to be the fifth. You say you are Gaudiyas. Right? So, then Baldev Vidya Bhushan, by the depth of his devotional service, gives the true meaning of this verse. Says yes. So what the verse is saying, that these acharyas of these four Sampradayas will advent in Purushottam Dham. And from there will delineate the Vaishnava teachings. He says, this is the understanding, this is the apparent understanding. He says, but really the understanding is, all these four acharyas have taken shelter of Lord Purushottam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has now advented in Utkala, in Puri. Right? This is the true understanding of this shloka. How can you get this true understanding? Is this just by the play of Sanskrit verse? Just by the play of the Sanskrit? No. It's by the potency, by the determination of following the path that the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have given. Right? It is only by following this can one really appreciate what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. It is nothing but unalloyed pure devotional service in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. Right? And so, actually so many verses that the Vaishnava Acharyas quote to establish that how Mahavishnu is the source of all incarnations. And the very same verses the Gaudiya Acharyas use to establish how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And makes such an interesting reading. Right? And that's why when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam met Venkat Bhatt. And he says, why you think Narayan is the source? Why you worship Lakshmi Narayan? You come from the Sri Sampradaya. And what is Sri doing? What is Lakshmi doing? Right? So he hits at the very root of the Sampradaya. See, what is Lakshmi doing? You say you belong to Sri Sampradaya, but what is Lakshmi ji trying for? She's eager for what? To enter into that Ras Leela. But does she get the entry? No. Why? And then on the basis of the Rasa Shastra, he establishes that how Krishna is the source of all rasas. Yeah. And Narayan is only carrying the aspect of Aishwarya. But Krishna is the source of that Aishwarya. Right? And he is the only one who actually embodies Madhurya in complete. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives so many references to establish how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we just take and just some aspect, because Vishwanathacharya Thakur gives so many unlimited points to establish how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only in this section of, where Krishna and Arjuna are actually going to meet Mahavishnu. And I'm taking this aspect because the whole flow is that we have started the chapter with description of Mahavishnu. And then Sudh Goswami actually delineates, he starts with so many avatars, but then comes mainly to the avatars that are in Swayambhu Manu. So all the avatars before this and after this, he's relating Rishabdev and Prithu Maharaj and Nar Narayan Rishi and Dattatrey. All these are incarnations that have come in Swayambhu Manu. So he mainly delineates the incarnations that appear in Swayambhu Manu. And then he goes directly to Vaivasvat Manu, that is now. He does not really describe the incarnations in between so much. Yeah. Of course, there is a reason to it and many more, but we are not just going into it, dwelling into it. The point is, he is very systematic in his presentation. He is very chronological. Right? He first talks about Manu and then about the Manuputras, Brahmaji, Narad Muni and all. And then comes to the avatars in the Swayambhu Manu avatar. And this Yajna is in the Manvantar in the Manvantar of Swayambhu Manu. So that's what is going on. So it may seem that all these avatars, because it's been stated, all the avatars come from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu, who is the source of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So it may seem apparently that Mahavishnu is the source of all these avatars. And the Paribhas Sutra that is going to come later is not the Paribhas Sutra, but has been presented as the Paribhas Sutra. That is the counter argument of the rest of the Vaishnava Acharyas, of the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. They don't accept. We accept that is the Paribhas Sutra. And we defend in Ajiv Goswami delineates so beautifully that why it is the Paribhas Sutra. It is just not because the Gaudiyas are accepting, the rest of the Vaishnava Acharyas are accepting. They don't accept it as the Paribhas Sutra. It is only the Gaudiyas who accept it as the Paribhas Sutra. Yeah, the rest actually counter it. So it's very, very interesting to understand how Jiva Goswami, Shri Vishwanathacharya Thakur actually bring out these arguments on the same Bhagavad Puran, from the same verses. Right? And we'll just take some points that he actually brings out. So, now the whole point is, the very purpose was that to establish how Mahavishnu is the supreme, how Mahavishnu is just an aspect of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you see the translation of the verse, it seems that Mahavishnu is saying, oh, please welcome, you are my expansions, Krishna and Arjun, please welcome to my abode. Now, Shri Vishwanathacharya Thakur makes the following observations, and some of the observations that we'll be taking, because you also have to describe the Yajna avatar. So he says that it's only apparent, it's not true, it's just customary. Because when Krishna comes to the abode of Mahavishnu, many things happen before that. So we have to also consider those things before we actually focus on the words that Mahavishnu is speaking. So when Krishna and Arjuna are coming, crossing the different layers of the universe before they meet Mahavishnu, the horses get disturbed. And these horses are from Vaikuntha Lok. No, but they still get disturbed because of the darkness that is engulfing the Brahman. And they get confused. They do not know where to go. And then Lord Krishna, with the effulgence emanating from his Sudarshan Chakra, actually provides light to show path to this to the horses. Now these the horses come from Vaikuntha Loka, but still they cannot overcome this darkness. It's only Krishna who actually shows them the path with the light emanating. At one time they get bewildered by the Brahma Jyoti that is after they cross the coverings. Then they are because of the glare of the Brahma Jyoti, they get bewildered. They lose their path. So first is because of excessive darkness, then it's because of excessive effulgence, you know, there's a shift. And then the Lord uses his pastime potency to actually show them the right path. And so the Acharya explains, so it proves that the Brahma Jyoti that emanates from Krishna is overcome by his pastime potency. So the pastime potency, the internal potency of Krishna is much greater than the effulgence that emanates from the Vishnus of Vaikuntha Loka. Of course, the source again of which is Krishna. Here again, when he meets Mahavishnu for the first time, he just offers his obeisances. And this is customary because, and very interesting, you know, in such great detail and with such great keen observation. Now, this keen observation can only come by the strength of their devotional service. So he says, of course, Krishna and Arjuna both offer their obeisances to Mahavishnu. But why they do it? Now, the Vaishnavacharyas of the other sampradaya say, see, Vishnu and Arjuna are also offering obeisances to Mahavishnu. So who's supreme? So if two great personalities are meeting, the greater personality will not offer obeisances. And you are saying Krishna and your Bhagavat itself is saying, Krishna and Arjuna are offering obeisances. So how can you say that Krishna is the source? Now Vishwanathacharya Thakur and Jiva Goswami says, but don't you see what they are doing? They are offering obeisances. Says one reason, because Krishna is very attached to performing his human-like pastimes. So that should not be covered. Krishna is just offering obeisances as he does to his form, as when he presents in the Govardhan Leela. So there also Krishna manifests himself as non-different from Govardhan and then again offers his obeisances to that same Krishna. Here he does the same. He offers his obeisances just out of his attachment to his human-like pastimes. But even though he's offered obeisances, he does not offer prayers. Right? He does not start glorifying Mahavishnu. That is the difference. That is why Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu. This is their argument. Very interesting. He says he offers respect but he does not offer prayers. Rather, he goes to explain, Mahavishnu starts speaking. Right? So they just come and offer obeisances first. But when two great personalities meet, it is the duty of the subordinate to not only offer obeisances, but also start glorifying the superior person. So after that, the superior person starts speaking. But here, Krishna has offered obeisances as an attachment to his human pastimes, human-like pastimes, but he does not offer prayers. Rather, Mahavishnu first starts speaking. And then he says, oh, you both are my expansions. But how this has to be understood? He says, why does Mahavishnu actually do this? So he says, Mahavishnu presents this verse in such a way that the apparent meaning is, or the obvious meaning is that Krishna and Arjun are actually appearing from Mahavishnu. But the hidden meaning is that Krishna and Arjun, or Krishna who is the source of all incarnation, has adventured in this material world with all his expansions. But why does Mahavishnu do this? Why does he use these specific words? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami explain, he just does this because of the desire of Krishna to bewilder Arjuna. Right? To bewilder Arjuna, see, Arjuna, I have brought you the source of all the incarnations, that is Mahavishnu. Right? Look, now Krishna, so Arjuna apparently gets bewildered. Oh, Krishna is so powerful, amazing. Because of him, I am able to see the source of all this universal manifestation, the Bhauma Purusha, Mahavishnu himself. How amazing is Krishna? And so that this impression remains in Arjuna's mind, Mahavishnu speaks these words. But then, it's only apparent. It's only apparent for Arjuna also. How that is so? And of course, he gives many explanations using the Sanskrit grammar, which I'm not going to, because I myself do not understand what Sanskrit grammar is. You know, many times we feel that Prabhupada is giving a meaning which is not directly apparent in the verse. But that is exactly why Prabhupada is giving a meaning for it. Right? And many times, even among devotees, they're saying, no, we should take the apparent meaning. Prabhupada is just giving from a different perspective. But Prabhupada is giving from the perspective that is the real perspective. To actually understand not what the apparent thing is, but what the intention is, what the intent is. Right? So then he says, so I'm not going to the Sanskrit grammar, I'm actually skipping that, honestly, because even I don't understand what the Sanskrit grammar is. And even the rasa aspect is so elaborate, but I'm just taking some aspects just to make this point that how Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And of course, he gives elaborate explanations in the Etya Inshakala Punsa Shloka, and there are different explanations for that. So he says here that, Arjun thinks for us, he thinks that, Arjun, after a moment, he thinks, but why did Lord Vishnu say that he took away the Brahman's children out of a desire to see Krishna? Why would the Supreme Personality of Godhead hanker to see his own expansion? This might be the effect of some peculiar temporary circumstance. But since he used Didrikshuna instead of Didrikshita, these are verses 58 and 59, from the 89th chapter of the 10th canto, where the specific suffix suna carries the sense of a permanent characteristic, not a temporary one. It has to be concluded that he has always been wanting to see Krishna and myself. But the point is, we always wanted to see me. And if he is the source of everything, why couldn't he just come to Dwarka and see us there? Oh. And even if he could have come, and he is the source of everything, why did he actually come and have to rob the Brahmana? Probably he thought, by robbing the Brahmana, Krishna will be disturbed because he is very dear to the Brahmanas. And in this way he may reveal himself. That means he can only see Krishna if he reveals himself. He cannot directly see Krishna. And if he is the source of everything, why did he say that he personally came and stole the Brahmana? He could have sent his servants. Because his servants could not do this because of the presence of Krishna, he had to personally come and do this activity. That is why he personally came and stole, right? Because his servants could not do because of the presence of Krishna. And he could only do this because Krishna allowed him this. And the point is, if Krishna is dear to the Brahmanas, he could have stopped it. But he didn't. And Krishna then clarifies this point to Arjuna. He says, so Mahavishnu thought that after I have stolen the kid of this Brahmana, he'll be disturbed and Krishna will come and reveal. But then I could have done that in the very first instant that he stole the kid of the Brahmanas. But I didn't do that, Arjuna. Because I did not come to give darshan to Mahavishnu because he stole the kid of the Brahmana. It is true. That I am very, the Brahmanas are very dear to me. And they are my very life and soul. But then I would have come at the very first instant itself. And given my darshan to Mahavishnu on the pretext of giving the son of the Brahmana back. But I did not do that. Because it's not because of the Brahmana that I came to give my darshan to Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu realized this. So he again and again and again stole the kids. So finally, the only thing he could do was impel the Brahmana, come to me, to come to you, to beg that please protect me. Right? And because of my attachment to you, Arjuna, because you had taken that vow, to protect that vow, because of my attachment to you, have I actually come to give darshan to Mahavishnu. And this way he glorifies the devotional service of Arjuna and glorifies the aspect of pure devotional service. Of how only by the dint of pure devotional service can one see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only then can one see the true source of all these incarnations. Of course, many more points, but I am not taking that. We'll just skip those. And we'll come to the point of how Sudha Goswami is also very systematic in his presentation of what of the avatars. So we see that now he's saying that Akuti, it is through the womb of Akuti that Yajna has come. So the previous avatars, see all the avatars that have been mentioned here are actually from the daughters of Manu, right? Akuti, Prasuti and Devuti. So we have from Daksha and Prasuti the 16 daughters and the incarnation of Nar Narayan Murti, Nar Narayan actually comes from the combination of Murti and Dharma, who is one of the daughters of Prasuti. Then from Kardamuni and Devuti, we have Lord Kapila, who was just described yesterday. And all these avatars are, you know, a combination. Again, they are a combination of Leela avatar and Manvantara, Leela avatar and Shaktavesh. So, even that is not very specific, but a different combination. And that's a science that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami, a very detailed sign, very specific. Again, we won't go into details of that. But that also has a very has a chronology and systematic presentation here. So then we have again Atri and Anusuya, that is Lord Dattatreya, who is again one of the daughters of Kardamuni. And then we have from the two sons, Priyavrat, Rishabdev, in the lineage of Priyavrat, and in the lineage of Uttanabad, King Pruthu. So all these avatars that are being described before and after are nothing but from the three daughters of Swayambhu Mani and from the two sons of Swayambhu Manu. And later on, he'll immediately jump to the to this Manvantara, that is by Vasvata Manu. So it is in this chronology that Sudha Goswami is actually describing these pastimes. And so here, we'll just go through this description of the birth of Yajna comes in two sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter of the fourth canto and the first chapter of the eighth canto, where the activities of Yajna have been described. The birth of Yajna is described in the fourth chapter. So, very interesting because we have again, you know, Ishavasamidam Sarvam. It's the same verse that Swayambhu Manu is also meditating on, right? Which is actually describing indirectly the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, the super soul. That's what even Swayambhu Manu is meditating upon. So when he goes for penances, his meditation is again the super soul aspect. So it may appear that it's from the super soul all these incarnations are coming. Again, you know, you can use it any way you want. Sanskrit, logic. But then it's only by the dint of pure devotional service that you can actually truly appreciate how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So from the penance of Swayambhu, Manu and Shatrupa, we have all these aspects coming. So we have Akuti, Devuti and Prasuti. So Akuti, and I'm just reading this fast, Akuti had two brothers. But in spite of Swayambhu, Manu having two sons, that is Uttanapad and Priyavart, he still was desirous to having the Supreme Personality as his own son. So there he reaches a deal with Akuti. He says, so when he gives Akuti in marriage, he says to Ruchi, he says that I give on one condition. that the son that is born will be given to me. Because Manu could realize by the dint of his devotional service that the son that will be born to Akuti will be non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who is this son? This son is Yajna. But he had this, little remorse in his heart, this lamentation and fear that Ruchi may not be very happy in doing this. But the Lord adjusts this. And he adjusts in such a way that when Akuti gives birth to progeny, she gives birth to twins. Yajna and Dakshina. Yajna and Dakshina do not go separately. So Yajna is only complete when Dakshina is given. Because the Brahmanas actually manifest Yajna, right? Who is non-different from the Supreme Personality of God. And it's only on giving Dakshina that the Yajna is considered complete. So the Dakshina is non-different from the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Yajna. She is born as the sister. But later, the son is given to Swayambhu Manu. Right? And then Swayambhu Manu raises Yajna as his own son and later marries her to Dakshina only. So, in this way, both the temporal dharma and the eternal dharma are maintained. So, because eternally they are related as husband and wife. At the same time, you see, so in this way, Yajna is born. Now, it's said that Yajna then has 12 sons. And these 12 sons help Yajna, who takes the post of Indra, because there is no one qualified to take on the change of Manvantara. And the next Manvantara is Sarvochesha Manu, who is the son of Uttama or Angira, of Agni, right? So, in this way, it is in this transition, as Prabhupada says in the purport itself, that Yajna takes the post of Indra along with his sons, who act as the different demigods. So in so it is in this way that Yajna actually takes this post because of the lack of any qualified person to take the post of Indra, and then does this function of Indra. So it is not that the other personalities, and this is clarified by Prabhupada in this purport, he says, so during the life of Swayambhu Manu, six kinds of living entities were generated from the demigods known as the Tushitas. This is the sons of Yajna, from the sages headed by Marichi, and from descendants of Yajna, king of the demigods, and all of them expanded their progeny to observe the order of the Lord to fulfill the universe with living entities. These six kinds of living entities are Manus, the Devas, Manuputras, the Anshavtaras, Sureshwaras, and Rishis. Yajna, being the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became the leader of the demigods Indra. Now, these six living entities are also partial expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Yajna, because it was time for the Manvantara avatar, and also as Leela avatar, he advanced himself, being not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he actually fulfills the function of both being a Manvantara avatar, because it was time for that, and also of Leela avatar. And then he performs his different activities. So what is the specific function of for Yajna, at least for devotees? A very interesting shloka. I am not sure. I think it comes in the sixth canto, where it says, Dhanvantari the Bhagwan Pato Apathyad Dvandvad Bhayat Rishapo Nirajit Atma Yajnascha Lokad Avataj Janatad Balo Ganat Krodh Vasad Ahindraha. So may the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. And may Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram as sage protect me from the envious serpents, because he is the source of all serpents. Right? So yajna is his specific function is to protect devotees from defamation and harm from the different populace. So in this way, the glories of yajna have been stated in the fourth chapter, in the fourth canto, and in the eighth canto. Specifically, if his functions, his activities have been glorified there. And in this way, we can appreciate how yajna is actually non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in both his Manvantara and avatar and as Leela avatar. So just to summarize, we have seen how Krishna is actually the source, not Mahavishnu as one may presume because of the different coverings that one may have. Of course, they are not material coverings. They are the coverings of Yog Maya. Because one is attached to the Aishwarya aspect of the Lord. But it is only by pure, unalloyed devotional service in the path given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one can realize how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's very difficult to appreciate the aspect how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is only by the determination of carrying out pure devotional service that one can actually appreciate how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Aur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. हो गया टाइम हो गया माइक बंद करके बैठा लेते हैं